In light of our faith promise season that we're in, I'd like to hand over to Garth now. Garth coordinates some of our outreaches and oversees the ministry and coordinates ministries. And I'd like to hand over to him now to facilitate a time around our faith promise pledge.
Thank you, Tish. Good morning. The reason we've shown this video to you this morning, firstly, is because South Africa has one of the highest rates of orphans in the world, with a fifth of all South African children homeless and more than 500,000 in the foster care system. 500,000. This coming Wednesday, 9 November, is World Adoption Day, and it's about the celebration of giving an orphan child a forever family. Secondly, our hope is that we can really stir up a heart for adoption and fostering within your hearts this morning, and also within our community in the future. And thirdly, we would really like to provide you with an opportunity to contribute financially toward the effective care of orphans and vulnerable children, among many other things, by means of the Faith Promise Fund. In terms of the Faith Promise Fund, the amount that was pledged for the 2015-2016 year that ended at the end of October now was 5.5 million rand. And the income to date has been astonishing, and it just shows the abundance of the Lord in his provision, because he's brought in 5,855,072 rand through you as his people, channeling funds for the advancement of his kingdom through the Faith Promise Fund. And that's 107% of the pledge that has already been received. And we're still consolidating books on that too. In terms of expenditure, 16% of that went towards our Hatfield Children's Homes. Obviously, this video just gives a representation of what the children have gone through. Most of the children, and also some of our partner ministries, which I'll get to now. 16% goes toward outreaches, that's local and international. 10% toward evangelical and community ministries, of which there's a percentage that goes toward the ministries that work with orphans and vulnerable children. 10% toward missions, missionaries, and ministry partners. 17% toward mobilization, training, equipping, and marketing. 8% toward operational costs, and 24% toward salaries for those who have to do this full time. As you saw earlier, 16% of this year's pledge went toward the foster care of the children in the three Hatfield Children's Homes. And there's also a percentage of the funds that gets allocated towards some of our partner ministries that specifically work with orphans and vulnerable children. So this morning, we would really like to ask you, if you have not yet completed a pledge card and would like to be part of this next year of Faith Promise, you will find on your seats, every third seat has a pledge card and a pen. And if you're not able to get access, just look down the row, see if someone can pass you a pledge card. And if there's nothing going on in your row, just lift your hand and we will get a card to you. But just lift your hand high and just wave it a bit so that someone can get that to you. Just want to take a moment. Does everybody have one of these? Everyone who wants to fill in a pledge card at least. Cool. It looks good. I'd like to ask if you can take the pledge card in your hand. And if you can hold it up to the Lord. And I just want to take a moment for us to wait on him for an amount that's based on his word to you. So, Father God, we raise these pledge cards up to you now. Please, will you give your people your promise of provision by giving them a specific amount that they can apply their faith to the substance of your word to them, so that they can trust you for these finances in order to be channels through which you finance the work that you do by means of the Faith Promise Fund. Amen. Due to time, we're going to move along swiftly. So this is where you get the chance, and this is where your faith comes into Faith Promise. Now you've got your Heavenly Father's promise that he's given to you. It's an amount. It could be a once-off amount. It could also just be something that he wants you to contribute monthly. But now that you've got the substance of the word, you can now start applying your faith to his word by filling in your details on the front of this pledge card. Very basic information. If at very least you can give us your email address and your telephone number together with your name and surname, that would be great. Then if you can just Once you're good with that, you can just turn the pledge card over to the back. And on the back, you will see there four blocks that specifically say debit order, internet, credit card, or cash/check. I want to ask if you can just see which one of those, by which means you want to make your contribution. And once you finalize that, if you are keen on doing debit orders or credit cards, then please can you fill in your bank details. But if you do not have your bank details, then at least we can contact you via the details that you have already provided. Once you have completed your form, we'd just specifically like to ask if you can obviously fill in the amounts. That just helps us after the service to tally up and then also just to consolidate a pledge for the 2016-2017 year that's ahead. So if you can simply just make sure that your details are on the front, you choose your means by which you contribute, and then you write down the amounts. Any other details, we can contact you because of what's on the front page. I'd like to ask the people that are sitting in the aisles, I just see that there should be plastic buckets underneath your seats. The people in the gallery on this side, to my left, you'll see that they're against the side wall over there. And the people sitting over here, you'll find them on the side wall there by you. And the idea is in the balcony, if you can just pass those plastic tubs around all the way through to that last aisle. And if this section over here to my left can just pass it across to the first aisle, the volunteers will collect. In terms of the bottom here, I see that the buckets are already passing. If you have a bucket under your seat, if you can just pass it in the opposite direction, and it looks like it's going from my right all the way across to the side over here. I forgot to mention that the little tab at the bottom, the perforated tab as well, is your means by which you can keep track of your contribution. And you simply tear that little piece off and you keep it for yourself as a bookmark, stick it on your fridge. If you've missed the plastic tub right now, please don't worry. We've made arrangements for boxes to be for the people on the balcony. Boxes will be placed at the elevator on your way out. And then also for those of you who are sitting on the ground floor, there will be boxes at the reception desk in the foyer. Feel more than welcome to go and just drop those off there as well. Two last things is that you can SMS your pledge as well to 083-50-111-60. And simply just send us your name and the amount. Obviously, we'll have your contact details then to follow you up. And then lastly, the Faith Promise videos that you have watched so far will also be available on YouTube. So please feel free to check in there and watch them. Thank you very much. We look forward to a year of advancing God's kingdom further in 2016-2017. Thank you so much.
Good morning, family. If you're still busy filling in, then that's fine. You can carry on doing that. But if you don't mind, I'm going to just start sharing the word with you this morning. And I'll do my best to be as quick as I can. If you can do your best to sit a little bit longer than what we normally do. So is that okay? We're running a little bit over time today. So if you'll give us a bit of grace in that. One of our things that we do, as you saw on the list there, is that we also have outreaches that go. And right now, we've got a team that just landed at 7 o'clock this morning in Jerusalem, and Natasha's on that team that's going to the global gathering, and it's going to be a great time where they're going to meet together with church leaders from the East and the Western Church, as well as the Global South, and really a time where church leaders want to come together and just spend in God's presence, and we believe God is doing something beautiful in the world with uniting His body. So I'd like us to just pray for them, if we can do that quickly at this point in time. Lord, we thank You for our team led by Brian and Debbie that are in Jerusalem right now. Thank You that they arrived there safely and had no problems with securities or anything like that. Lord, we pray for this next week as they'll be there facilitating and ministering and just participating. We pray, Father, that Your grace will be upon them, that they would have an amazing time. And we really pray for that gathering of leaders and people from across the world, that there would be something special that You are doing in the preparing of Your bride. And we thank You for that. We pray for Your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Just from my side, also thank you to everybody that is participating in the Faith Promise season in this wonderful time. And today, the message I want to share with you is entitled, just in the line of where we are going, that it is a priceless sowing or giving that I want to share with you today, priceless sowing. And I don't know how many of you have ever wondered if it wouldn't be great to time travel. Any of you, when you were younger, thought, or even perhaps if you were older. Now, if you grew up in sort of my time, then you'll remember the quintessential, the famous time traveler, a guy by the name of Marty McFly. How many of you can remember Marty McFly? If you're too young, sorry. Marty McFly from the Back to the Future movies, he became this time traveler of our time. And so often people think time traveling will be something great to do. Whether it's because you want to go to the past and perhaps change something in your past and fix something, or perhaps I sometimes think, you know, I just want to go to the future, perhaps 5 or 10 years from now, and just check up on my children if they're going to be okay. And if they're not, then I know what to do today, and perhaps I can help. And time travel seems like this, you know, it'll help a lot. But I'm really glad that as people, we can't time travel. I'm really glad as mankind that we are stuck in one dimension of time. I think no matter how good our intentions are, we'll probably make the world a worse place and a much more terrible place if we had to go around trying to fix time. But I am deeply glad, as equally, even more glad than what I am, that people are limited to time. I'm glad that God is not limited to time. I think of it like this, that all time is in God, but God is not in time. Can I say that again? All time is in God. In other words, everything that has happened across the history of this planet is in God. There's not been a moment that has happened or will happen that is outside of God. He was long before anything. He's the God of eternal past and the God of eternal future. So time is in Him, but He is not in time. And what I mean by that is that God is not limited to time. God does not live in this box of one-dimensional time that you and I live in. Because we can look at a story like that video we watched this morning and see how terrible that is. And from a human perspective, we think, you know, how can we change these things? But we're limited. Time moves forward for us. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And while we do not believe in God in a determinist sense, that God determines how things are going to be, we believe that God has been in the future because all time is in Him. That He can be all past, present, future. He sort of spans over it all. That there's no future that God does not know what that future is. Again, not because He determines it. Not because He has decided what your future is, but He can see it. Because He is past, present, and future. Time is so important for us. And it's important for us as believers to remind ourselves that all time, God sort of oversees and sits over all of time. But time is important. I don't know if you know this, but we've changed the way we measure time in the second half of the previous century. We used to measure time by the sun and the moon and the movement of the earth. And that's where our calendars and our weeks and our days and our hours and everything come from. But in the middle half of the last century, we moved from measuring time by these outward celestial bodies and the earth and the big things, and we actually now measure time by the smallest thing. And we now live in a time where we talk about atomic time. I don't know if you know this. But our watches, particularly if you use a device like a smartphone that connects, and it's if you choose that little section where it says automatic update, that updates according to what is called atomic time. There are 400 laboratories across the world in 70 different countries that measure time. And what they use to measure time is they take an atom of the cesium-133 atom. And the pulse of that atom, as it pulses, is the closest to an accurate 1 second that we have. So these 400 laboratories measure cesium-133's atomic pulse. And they collaborate in that. I'm supposed to end the sermon already by now. You give me grace a little bit longer. So they collaborate on that, and according to that standard, that is universal standard time, is set. It's funny, as I talk about time, my alarm goes off, so there we go. They set time for us. And they do this nowadays. Why we've changed our standard of time is because when we got more and more accurate with measuring time, we realized that the Earth's rotation by which we set our seconds and hours and minutes, the Earth is slowing down in its rotation, actually. I don't know if you know this. And therefore, they had to introduce something that is called leap seconds. On 1:59:59 of the 1st of January 2017, in other words, one of these days, we will experience the next leap second. What a leap second is because the Earth's rotation is slowing down, we're losing time. So every now and then they have to introduce a leap second into our time system, and we actually skip and we jump forward 1 second to catch up. So it's actually on Universal Standard Time, it'll be when the clock, when 2016 comes to an end, and that second it becomes 2017, we'll actually jump forward a second. But in South African time, it'll be 1:59:59. So we'll actually go from 1:59:59 to 2:00:01, if you just can figure that out. And since the introduction of this standard, 1972, this will be the 27th leap second that we've got. Wow. Now, I don't know if you find that interesting. I find that interesting. I'm a bit of a nerd. I find those kind of things interesting. Why do we need such accurate time? Because we live in a digital world now. GPS, the internet, everything relies on consistently exact standard time. If you send an email and there's a slight time difference across the chain of all these switches that have to be switched for your email to arrive somewhere, it'll not be able to be sent because everything's not synchronized. Your GPS will be off. Everything, our world will actually, they think, collapse if our time is not that accurate as it is currently. Now, that's just on a human level. Why I'm telling you this story, sharing this useless bit of information with you, is to make this point. That as dependent as you and I are on time, we need to realize, not as we only set our watches and we set our devices according to some standard time. We synchronize everything according to this standard time. My life and your life needs to be set and synchronized according to God's standard time. We need our lives to be set and in sync with Him. Because if it's not, things will fall apart. And this is the challenge of our day. I want to read Hebrews 13, verse 6 to 8 says, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because we live in a world where everything is changing around us all the time. Everything is being reshuffled. This week we lived in a phenomenal week of change in our country. But you and I as believers, we can experience all of this change and participate and engage with all of this change. But even if the times are changing, our time is synchronized by God. The sons of Issachar could read the signs of the time because they were anchored and synchronized in God's time. I want my life to be synchronized to the heartbeat of my Father. Then everything around me can change and be up and down and everything can fluctuate, but my life, Jesus spoke about, is built upon the rock. And there's a steadiness, there's a steadfastness, there's a movement that is possible in my life. And what I want to talk about quickly today is this idea that our future is in Christ. Neil preached about this a couple of months ago, and I want to reiterate this point, that if we think about the moving of time, past, present, and future, I want to say this, your future is as bright as your faith. Your future is as bright as your faith. Because right now, we could be sitting here and we can be thinking, what does the future hold for us? What does the future hold for my children? What does the future hold in this nation? Your future is as bright as your faith. Your future is not as bright as how good the rand is doing. Your future is not as bright as the clever decisions our politicians and our leaders are making. Your future is not as bright as our economic standing or our educational standing. Your future is as bright as your faith. Hebrews 11, 1, verse 1 says, our hope is this confidence that we believe in the things that are not seen. You see, my future is not determined by that which I see. It is determined by that which I don't see. That which is not real in an earthly sense. That is what determines my future, and that is what my faith rests in. My faith determines the brightness of my future. Right now, today, you could be sitting here, and your life could be great or it could be terrible. Doesn't matter what either of those are, your future is not determined by anything other than what do you believe determines your future. And for us as believers, that determines our future is our God. Therefore, again, we synchronize our lives according to Him. We synchronize our lives not according to the movements and the patterns of our age, not according to the news cycles and the Twitter feeds and the Facebook posts. We set our lives according to the movement of God's Spirit. We don't set our lives according to the pulse of cesium-133. We set our lives according to the pulse of our Father's heart. Then we have a future. Then we have a hope. Everything can change, but you and I have a hope. I want to make 3 points about that quickly to help establish that point. Our future is not in the past. Because so often we think the future is either in reclaiming some great past event or escaping some terrible past reality. And so often people live their lives in reaction to the past. Now, I don't have a lot of time to say this, but our future is not in the past. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. So often we can live our lives and we can think, if only I didn't choose that in the past. If only I didn't do, or if only I didn't make that mistake. And we can almost do this time traveling thing, and we're trying to figure out our lives, how different it could have been if it wasn't for some past thing that happened. Our future is not in the past. No matter what your past has been, your future is in Christ. Amen? The best we can do with the past is put it under the blood of Jesus. We forgive and we see restoration come about. Repentance, forgiveness that brings restoration is how we deal with the past. But I do not live my life in reaction to the past. Some people may think, oh, if we can only get back to 1950. Natasha is one of those people because she loves those cars from 1950s. Remember that those are the wings and the, you know, those ornate and big, and she loves those cars. So she thinks, if we only get, it'll be the best. Our best is not in the past. Our best is in Christ. Our future. We can learn from the past, but we fix our eyes, as the writer of the Hebrews says, in faith on the future that God has for us. Jesus endured the cross because he was able to fix his eyes on the future that God had for him. Our future is not in the past. Our future is also not necessarily an extension of our current reality. So often we think that how life is today, that's how it's going to be tomorrow. So I may be lulled into a false sense of security and think, well, my life's pretty great today, so therefore tomorrow it's going to be great. Or I can think my life is terrible today, therefore it's going to be terrible tomorrow. And I get locked into a reality where my future looks dark and gloomy because I think my future is an extension of my current reality. It's not necessarily the case. James 4, verse 13 to 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Our lives, there's no certainty about tomorrow. And that must be a positive thing that we remember. Because we cannot make permanent decisions today on a temporary reality. Can I say that again? Do not make permanent decisions today because of a temporary reality you're facing right now. A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, on the 28th of October, 30 years ago, my father passed away. I was busy writing my matric final exam, so just before I turned 18. He had a heart attack during the night and suddenly, unexpectedly. My mom kept it a secret from us, and that morning I went to go write my English paper. And I wrote it and finished before the time. And I was sitting there and some reality came into my mind where it was the Holy Spirit or something, and I felt my dad had died. Nobody spoke. I had no indication of it. All my mom said is, my dad's not well. We'll go visit him at the hospital after I've written the exam. She was obviously trying to just get me through the exam. Pastor Safas, I don't know if Safas is here this morning. He was our pastor when I grew up, him and Tani Isabel. He came and fetched me at school that day. And when I came out of the exam room and I saw Safas standing there, I knew my dad had passed away. Got home and there was the family. And in an instant, our life changed. My dad didn't leave us with anything. By that stage, we've lost our home. We didn't have a house. We rented a place. My mom didn't leave us with money. Life suddenly changed in an instant. And it looked pretty dark. But I'm so thankful that my mom had faith. As a single parent with two boys, I was just going to leave home at that stage. She had no money, but she had faith. And the Lord gave her a promise, and the Lord said, your sons will both be trained by the Lord. And that became the promise she held on to. And for years, she gave me 20 rand every now and then to when she could. She did the best she could. But I'm so glad that no matter how difficult that current reality was, she did not make permanent decisions. In the sense that she didn't say, I give up on life. I'm gonna end this. I'm going to run away, or I'm going to take my life, or some permanent decision. But she said, my God, He is my permanence. And I can remember how she used to pray and trust the Lord. And people came alongside and helped us. And it was remarkable for us as a family this a couple of weeks ago when we stood back and we said, 30 years ago, how different life looked. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful. Our future is as bright as our faith. I don't know what your current reality is. I don't know what you're facing. But can I just tell you this? You have a Father. You have a Father that loves you. His heart beats for you. That little girl in that video, how terrible her life was. But the truth was, there's a Father that loved her and loves her. And His heart beats. And if I can synchronize my life with the heartbeat of that Father who loves me, I have a hope and I have a future. Because Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you, to not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And that is the heartbeat of our Father. Synchronize your lives according to His heartbeat. And then the last thing I want to say is our future is in Christ. Revelations 21, verse 3 to 7, and let me read it quickly. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. That is your future in Christ. No matter how much you're crying today, your future is in Christ. There is no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. But I don't believe that's only for life hereafter. The psalm says my heart would have become despondent if I did not believe in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is our Father's heart for us. Verse 5, and there one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. This is a proclamation of our future. This is what I have to believe and put before myself and say, no matter what my present reality is, that is where I'm going. And that is my future is in Christ. And that is secure, not because of me, but because of Him. But there's this little line here which is important. It says, all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. So my responsibility is to be victorious so that I can inherit the blessings. How do I inherit the future blessings of God? And let me hasten to say, I believe it's this simple little principle, seed, time, harvest. For me to inherit the future that Christ has for me, I sow the seeds today. I sow the seeds today. The scripture says, those who sow in tears will reap in laughter. I heard a missionary once said he didn't understand what that verse really meant until he was in Africa somewhere. And ministering and serving in a community. And it was drought and it was dry and there was nothing left for the people. And he saw these ladies that took their bag of seed, their little bit of seed. And they were on their knees on the ground and they were making little furrows. And they planted that seed. And every seed they planted, they cried, they wept. And he realized what was going on. Because they were so hungry and their children were so hungry that they were actually planting their food for today. And when they planted that seed, they said, we may die today, but if we don't plant, there's no future for us. Our future is in the seeds we sow today. Not only as individuals, but as this community. God has called us to secure the future for His kingdom. God has called us and placed us and said, you are the ones that through you my kingdom will come. My will be done. You are the agents of my kingdom, not only now, but for the future. Our job is to lay hold of the future that God wants. That when we see a story like that of that little girl, we can say there is a future. And today we're sowing the seeds so that that future can be a different story. But it begins with each of us saying, Lord, if I know the pulse of your heartbeat, if I hear your heartbeat, if I set my time, my life according to your heartbeat, then I can plant the seeds today. Then I can have the faith today to plant the seeds for what I see in the Spirit in the future. Seed, time, and harvest. It is our privilege as a community. And this is what Faith Promise Season is. We are sowing priceless seeds that perhaps today we will not see the harvest. Imagine the first Hatfielders, 30-something years ago. I don't know if Laurie, were you around when it happened, the first Faith Promise? Nee, even before your time, Laurie. Yes, my dan's at lang terug. Yes, very long ago. Those first people that said, I see a future, and they planted the seed. It's our generation, it's our time now to say, I'm planting the seed for the future. How do we plant seeds? Yes, money is seed, but it's not only money. It's our hearts, first of all. It's giving our hearts to the Father and saying, Lord, here's my heart. I want you to synchronize it with your heart. That's the first seed I plant. Because I cannot establish the kingdom through my money. I cannot establish the kingdom through my time or my energy if my heart is out of sync with the Father's heart. But when my heart's in sync with the Father's heart, the seeds I plant will represent that heartbeat. It is my money, it is my time, it is my energy. And I want to encourage you. God has a future and it is in Christ. It is our calling today to sow those seeds so that we can have a 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. That our children will look back and say, thank you for the seeds that the previous generation have sown, and that they will sow their own seeds for the future that God has for us. I want to read a last verse, well-known scripture. Philippians 3, verse 12 to 13 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Our future is in Christ. Is your future hope in Christ? Because if it is, it is a secure hope. Our hope is not maybe, perhaps, possibly. It is certain. Because as certain as Jesus is, as certain as that is our future hope. I'd like you to stand with me. The worship team doesn't have to come up on stage. I'm going to end the service. On a very personal level, I'd like you to take this and think. And I want you to remind yourself, and I want to remind you, your future is not in your past. No matter how good your past or how bad your past was, that is not your future. Learn from it, but let the blood of Christ redeem it. Your future is also not just perhaps an extension of your present reality. If you had to say to me today, I am desperate. I've got no money. I don't know how I'm going to feed my children. And if I said to you, I can add one thing to your story that perhaps will change your whole demeanor and attitude about your current reality, and that may be I'll give you R1 million. How many of you know you'll feel a lot better all of a sudden? Suddenly the future looks a lot brighter. Now I cannot give you R1 million. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give to you. I give you something far better than R1 million, and that is Jesus Christ. Add him to your story. Add him to your current reality, and suddenly your future looks bright because your future is in Christ. Our future. And not only as individuals, but as a community and as a nation, our future is in Christ. Perhaps there's many people in our country that don't know the future is in Christ. And that's why it's important that we know our future is in Christ. That we can make sure that we introduce that the whole time into the story of this country. Our future is in Christ. Let us pray together. Won't you just be in a place, just Holy Spirit, we come before you. We are just people. We are just people. We feel the movings of our time. We feel the uncertainties and the insecurities. We fall victim to the volatility. But today, we want to quiet every voice. We want to quiet every other reality. And all we want to hear is your heartbeat, Father. And right now we choose to set our time according to that heartbeat. To set our lives according to that unmovable, unchangeable heartbeat. God's heart is always for us. He's always got a hope for us. He's always working for our future. And that will never change. Right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that whatever we may be feeling, let that become dim. And let your heartbeat become so real to us right now. And Lord, as we pick up your heartbeat, perhaps in this moment, perhaps in this week to come, in the days to come, let us be able to respond to that heartbeat and sow the seeds so that we will be those that are victorious, that will not be the victims of our time, but that will be the engineers of your time, that will be the carriers of your time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the seeds you've given us. Let us sow them according to your heartbeat, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for giving us patience this morning. Your children have been looked after. You can go fetch them. Bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week again. If you want prayer for anything, If anybody would like prayer, just please come to the front. Our team will gladly be here to pray with you. As we always do every Sunday, it'll be an honor to pray with you. Please make sure you don't miss out on that opportunity.